With UFC 82 in the books, it's time now to turn our attention to UFC 83. And of course, it all goes down April 19th in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And while we all know about GSP Serra 2, this card is actually filled with a ton of very intriguing matchups, one of which includes former Ultimate Fighter winner Michael Bisping making his middleweight debut against Charles Chainsaw McCarthy. We haven't seen McCarthy in the octagon since November 2006, so this seemed like a pretty good time to catch up with the American Top Team member. What's going on, Charles? Welcome to the park.
How you doing, Ariel?
It's great to be talking with you. Before we get to the fight on the 19th, like I said, we haven't seen you in the octagon since November 2006, and this is not one of those situations where, you know, a guy leaves the UFC for a few months or a year or so and fights on a smaller card. You actually haven't fought since November of 2006. So give us an update. What have you been up to lately?
Going into my last fight in that November fight against Gideon Ray, I tore my ACL about a month before the fight. So directly after the fight was over, I went into surgery and got my ACL repaired. So about a year recovery time, and I had probably about 5 months good solid training on my knee to go after the surgery.
And what's your contract situation like with the UFC?
I have 5 fights left on my contract.
All right, so there was no worry that, I mean, could they in fact have actually dropped you, if you weren't recovering, or was that not a worry?
I wasn't really worried about it, definitely they're always within their right to cut a contract.
Okay, so now you got the fight proposed to you to make your return to the octagon in Montreal. Were there any other fights that, you know, in the lead up to getting this one finalized that were thrown at you, or was it always Michael Bisping?
It was always Michael Bisping. The only thing that changed was it was originally slated for a March card that wound up getting scrapped in England. So this moved from England to Montreal.
Right, exactly. That was supposed to be, I believe, March 8th or so in London, and obviously that was scrapped now at UFC 83 in Montreal. Okay, so let's talk about Bisping for a second, because as everyone knows, here's a guy who won the Ultimate Fighter as a light heavyweight. This is now his debut at middleweight, coming off of one lackluster performance for sure against Matt Hamill, another solid performance in a losing effort to Rashad Evans. What's your take on Bisping the fighter?
I think he's a tough guy. He's real aggressive, keeps a good pace, as far as that goes. His skill level, it's not real impressive to me. I don't think that, I don't think he's really exceptional in any one area of fighting. As long as they come in shape, I expect to be able to take him down and submit him quickly.
With this being his first bout at 185, do you expect that maybe, because he might not be used to fighting at that weight, he might get gassed early, or he might feel uncomfortable because he'd been at 205 for so long? Are these things that factor into your mind, or sort of like when the bell rings, all that's thrown out the window?
No, it wouldn't be a safe thing to expect something like that. He was never really big for light heavyweight. He always walked around probably at a lighter weight than I walk around at. So, for him to make 85, I can't imagine it's going to be that hard for him. And to count on somebody having a hard time making weight is a very bad strategy.
What would you say are his strengths? Would you be focusing more or expecting him more to want to stand with you or go to the ground?
I know he doesn't want to go to the ground with me. I have no doubt about that. So I know he's going to try to keep the fight standing. And, if it stays standing, I don't have a problem with that. But definitely on the ground is where I have a huge clear advantage over him. So, I try... in my fights, not to really stress so much over what the guy's strengths are. I try to make them fight my fight, and I've been fairly successful at that. And I think that you're not going to so much see him have any strengths in this fight as much as you're going to see him trying to just keep me off of him the whole fight.
When you read online the previews for UFC 83, and clearly here's a guy that the UFC has a ton invested in. You always see him sitting in the front row. He's sort of an ambassador to the UFC in the UK, and now he's making his debut at 185 over two, not so stellar performances. Do you feel as though that you're playing the role of spoiler here, that not a lot of people are sort of banking on you to win, and you can actually, make a huge impact by raining on their parade?
I think that a lot of people are expecting that this weight off is going to affect me more than it will. I'm better now than I've ever been. I've been training with some great guys, and I fully expect to go in and finish this fight quickly and look on to bigger and better things.
Now, what about the debut in Montreal? Because, well, I'm actually from Montreal. I've been to many events there, and I don't think a lot of people realize. I mean, you talk about the fans in Columbus, and you know the fans over in UK. I will fully, you know, I'll go on record as saying that no UFC fighter will ever experience what it will be like at the Bell Centre on April 19th. The Montreal fans are starving for MMA. Are you expecting a rowdy, a raucous crowd that's just going to sort of be maybe even a factor in the bout, or really does it not really make a difference when you get into that octagon?
Oh man, you know what? I really like hearing the crowd. You know, it's something I feed off of, and the louder and more energetic the crowd is, the better pace I fight at, and I can't wait. You know, I heard so much good stuff about Canadian fans, and one of my training partners, Dennis Kang, is from Vancouver. Another guy I'm training with, Caleb Stone, is a Canadian. You know, and a lot of guys that I've trained with in the past have told me, you know, that are from Canada, how rowdy fans are there and how much energy they have. And I can't wait, man. I'm looking really forward to being in the first UFC in Canada. It's going to be a good time.
You know, despite the fact that, like I said, maybe the UFC has a lot invested in Bisping, right now he's not on the you know, favorite fighter list for a lot of fans, especially after, you know, his behavior following the Matt Hamill bout. Do you think that you actually might be, you know, the crowd favorite here, despite the fact that he won the Ultimate Fighter and all that stuff, that fans are still not sort of forgiven him for the way he acted after that Hamill bout?
You know, I'm not really sure. You know, I've gotten a ton of people told me that they're not big fans of his, but at the same time, you know, I don't expect them to tell me something any different than that. So, you know, who knows? I just, you know, I'll feed off that energy. I don't really care if they cheer for me or boo for me. I know I'll put on a good show. I know by the end of the fight they'll be cheering.
What do you think of that bout? I mean, obviously, I think by now you wouldn't find a person who would have said that Bisping won, but the way he sort of acted afterwards and how testy he was when people were sort of kind of trying to tell him that, you know, listen, you didn't deserve to win that bout, and maybe you should be, you know, dealing with this whole situation with a little more class.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was kind of crappy what he did. And they, listen, man, we don't judge our own fights. You know, whatever happens, happens. We leave it all in the ring, and whatever the judges decide, that's what we have to walk away with. But at the same time, you definitely know how the fight went. I can't imagine that he felt that he walked away with a clear-cut victory in there. And the fact that he wasn't more respectful about that, I think got under everyone's skin, you know. I think, you know, maybe he's playing the heel role to try to get more attention. I don't know, but I saw clearly he lost the fight, you know, and I just don't see any other way that fight could have been judged. And, you know, that's one benefit I have by this fight not being in England now. If for some reason this fight goes to decision, I expect to get a fair decision out of it.
What about the fact that, you know, Bisping is, excuse me, he's trying to sort of rise up in this middleweight division, right? And, you know, right now it seems as though, I mean, especially coming off of Anderson Silva's huge victory this past weekend over Dan Henderson, there's a lot of, it's an open playing field in 185. You beat Bisping, you maybe go in a couple more. I mean, you have to consider yourself right there in the thick of things. I mean, this is the most wide open division in MMA, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that in my head, you know, what I have planned is I'd like to go in and beat Bisping, and, you know, I'll let everyone know right now, you know, my goal is set on the title. I don't care, you know, what I got to do to get there, but I'd like to make a big impression on Bisping and get the quickest route possible. I think that, you know, I've heard a lot of people that don't really want to fight Anderson Silva. It's mind-boggling to me. I think that, you know, if you're fighting at this level, you got to want to fight the best guy out there, and that's obviously the best guy out there. I think I think I can do some stuff against him that nobody's fought yet could do to him. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the cards play the right way, and everything goes how I'm expecting. I'd like to be fighting Anderson Silva before the year's out.
You look at a lot of people now saying that there's this big discussion, is he pound for pound the best fighter in the world? What's your take on that as far as Anderson Silva goes?
You know, it'd be hard to argue against it. If he's not, he's definitely, you know, in the top three. I think maybe St. Pierre is probably number one right now. You know, even coming off his loss, I think that, you know, pound for pound, he's got to be number one. I think BJ Penn might be number two, could probably switch him back and forth, and I think Anderson Silva is right after that.
you've had probably a chance to sit back. I mean, you've been out of action for a year and a half, and that was exactly really in the time that Silva sort of rose to the stature that he's in now. From looking at these fights, and I don't know if you saw UFC 82, but if you did, looking at these fights, is there something that you're seeing that people aren't doing, or maybe not attacking a weakness in his game that you would look to do so if you're ever in the octagon against him?
You know, I've seen that his wrestling isn't his strongest point, and you know, you see he got taken down against Dan Henderson. Travis Luter was able to take him down. He got taken down a few times in his fight. And, you know, I think that that's something I can definitely do, but what I think I can do different is I think once I get him to the ground, I think I can finish him there. You know, he's been finished before on the ground, and, you know, I know he's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I think that I'm much better on the ground than he is. And, you know, once I get him to the ground, I feel pretty confident that I can get the job done.
Let's say you do beat Michael Bisping and you say you'd like to face him by the time the year is out. Who would be, obviously you wouldn't get that title shot right after a Bisping victory. Is there someone that you view as sort of next in the pecking order that you'd like to knock off on your way to that goal?
You know, who knows? There's so many things that change regularly. I think the next fight for Silva is going to be Okami. You know, that's what I would imagine. That's got to be the next fight for him. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to beat Okami, but if he does beat Okami, then I'd like to fight him, you know, after whoever they put me with next. You know, who knows? You never really know what their game plan is until they call you and tell you who they want you to fight. I don't have any desire to fight anybody that's not going to get me right there, you know. So, you know, if somebody's not in the title hunt after I beat this thing, I don't want to fight them.
Finally, Charles, you train out of Boca Raton, Florida, and you know, when I think of Boca Raton, Florida, I think of the Del Boca Vista and old people playing shuffleboard. Nothing against Boca Raton, beautiful, beautiful place. I just don't see it as being this rough and tough, you know, area that breeds MMA fighters. Can you convince me that, you know, this is a great place to train and you actually have, you know, great guys to get prepared for April 19th?
Absolutely. You know, I'm training down with American Top Team in Coconut Creek, and I have my own gym in Boca Raton about 25 minutes from the headquarters of American Top Team. I have Carmelo Moreira, UFC fighter, beat Chuck Congo out there. I have Luigi Fiorviante, who just beat Luke Cuomo out there. I have Cole Miller from Ultimate Fighter Season 5 out there. Micah Miller from WC is out there. So we got a great squad of guys, and, you know, I can't ask for anything more than what American Top Team brings to the table, which is the best fighters in all weight classes to train with every single day.
Yeah, well, you definitely have surrounded yourself with a top team, per se, and April 19th, you make your debut or your return to the Octagon after a long layoff in Montreal, Canada. Good luck to you, Charles, really, and it's great to see you back in action, and best of luck in the rest of the year.
Thanks, Ariel. Hope to see you out there, buddy.